Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Rumble Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Sam Tabak, Popeye Jones, Joey Devine, Oliver Miller, Sean Wright, Sean Keane, Tim Kempton, Dee Brown, musical guest Aerosmith, and special guest star Katie Heindel. And now, the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock podcast. And we are here with our very special guest. It's the end of summer, so you know what that means. It's time to judge and judge people's summer vacations officially. So we're here with our special guest from the Basketball Feelings newsletter, Katie Heindel. Katie, how are you?
I'm great. I'm ready for this.
Are you wearing white pants? It is after Labor Day.
I'm wearing shorts.
Okay. Are they white?
Oh, she is the inventor of shorts.
That's true. They're like a peach.
Okay.
They're not appropriate for September, so that's why I'm hanging on.
That other voice you heard is, of course, Sean Keane, permanent co-host. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm also wearing shorts.
Wow. Yes. It's a shorts party.
Mm-hmm. I got some pajama shorts this summer, and it changed my life.
All right. I, of course, am not wearing shorts. I'm wearing my pajamas as well, which is a very long, old-timey shirt-like thing.
Yeah.
I also am wearing one of those really, really long caps that I sleep in, of course. And I'm holding a candle.
Oh. What did you do right when you woke up today, Joey?
Well, I was awoken by what I thought was a ghost, so I tiptoed down the hallway holding my candle and my sleeping cap. And mayhem ensued.
Oh. because I'm wearing pajama shorts, I woke up, stepped directly on to a skateboard, mm-hmm. rolled into the kitchen, chugged a 20-ounce Mountain Dew, and now I'm here. Mm. I'm also wearing sunglasses.
Sick, bro.
I sleep in sunglasses now.
What do I usually say here at the top of the show? I cannot remember. We have a Patreon, maybe? Yeah, yeah. It is so early. I just, to let the listeners know, I have not been up this early in a very long time. So I'm a little out of it. But yes, we have a Patreon. You can support us if you feel like it monetarily at patreon.com/roundrockpod. You can follow us on Twitter at roundrockpod, email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com, or you can call us on the phone at the number in the description of this show. We love hearing from you, and we love hearing you so much. We have a segment about it. Should we do reader mail? Is everyone ready for reader mail?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right. I said we had a phone number, remember? And no one ever calls us. But somebody did call us. We got a call from our man, one of the oldest Round Ball Rock fans. Right, Sean?
Yeah.
I think he's one of our first fans. We got a call from Christian.
Hi, it's Christian, longtime listener, first time caller. My question is, today on Twitter, there's a big debate going around, which NBA star would you want to have with you if you're in a bar fight? I want to switch that question. If you had to have an NBA player try to make world peace with the world's diplomats, who are your starting five?
Sean, would you like to go first on this one?
All right, let me tell you who I would not choose real quickly.
Okay.
It's Jeff Van Gundy, because Jeff Van Gundy would fall to the floor and immediately he would just be like grabbing Putin's ankle with one hand. And, Angela Merkel's with the other, mm-hmm. and he would just get dragged around. So that is not who I would choose. I think Klay Thompson is a very good choice in this situation. He's pretty relaxed. I don't feel like he's going to be a stickler in negotiations. He's traveled internationally a fair amount. And, he's survived a lot of chaotic situations with some big personalities.
All right. Katie, who came to your mind first?
I think Serge Ibaka. Mm. He's like a very worldly man. He's lived in a lot of places. He is the kind of person I feel like could fit in with all crowds. You know, he could mm-hmm. be really highbrow. Also get along with your regular everyday people. And he always looks good and he's just very charming. So
my only concern would be, what if they're on the brink of a peace settlement and Serge is like, yes, but now we have to eat testicles.
I think it could really break the ice in some situations.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could argue that the Raptors won the NBA title because of the team chemistry fostered by Serge asking every single person he meets, how hungry are you?
And to eat really disgusting things. Mm. He brings everybody to the same level of grossed out.
The first person that came to mind for me was Nikola Jokic. Because he's lovable, mm-hmm. But non-threatening, and also he likes to share the ball around a lot. So I think he'd probably be pretty into, trying to make sure everybody got theirs in a world peace treaty. You know, and mm-hmm. plus there is already an example of him. Sacrificing a little bit for the good of the team. If you remember right, when Yusuf Nurkic was there, Jokic was far and away a better center than Nurkic, but
Jokic, and remains so to this day.
Yeah, and Jokic sacrificed and said he'd come off the bench so Nurkic could start because it was important for Nurkic.
What did Yusuf Nurkic say in response, Joey?
He wore a t-shirt. He wore a t-shirt with all the names of people that Jokic knew who died or whatever. I don't really remember.
I think that was pretty much it, right? Here are some people who murdered people who look like you. Also, I am vegan.
So I think we have our big man rotation settled for this starting five.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
So
we need a peacemaker point guard.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is a surprisingly challenging position because I think the nature of being a point guard, you're a small player who's kind of yelling at larger players.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to do that in a peaceful way? Do you think JJ Barea is pretty good?
That is pretty good.
He's been a victim of unprovoked violence in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to deal with a very chaotic organization and a fairly international roster.
Well, and more importantly,
yeah,
who's he been married to, Sean?
Two different Miss Universes.
And who
That's
better?
Not why.
Who better? To figure out world peace than someone who has experience figuring out peace at home with a leader of the universe.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But he couldn't figure out peace at home.
He's still married. He's married to one.
Okay.
You know, he learned from
his... He's figuring it out. Yeah. Good.
He's like, you know what? Give me a second shot at the universe. Wouldn't it be incredible if there was, if someone was a spouse to two different presidents of the United States? That would have been incredible.
All right. And who is our starting, who's our small forward here?
Oh, okay. Hmm.
This is look, to me, it's a pretty big no-brainer.
Are you allowed to go into the bizarro world and pull out, like, negative Jimmy Butler?
No. because, well, negative Jimmy Butler sort of does exist, I think. And his name is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh.
I mean, he's just a sweet boy. No one would want to disappoint him. And he has experience... learning the food of other cultures, you know? Mm-hmm. He's been a poor man. He's been a rich man. Uh-huh. He's eaten funnel cake. He's eaten tzatziki, you know?
I think that's helpful for a peacemaker.
Yeah, and he has a lot of siblings, exactly. And, what, like, who doesn't love Giannis? You mean to tell me Vladimir Putin wouldn't look in those sweet eyes and melt, you know?
I could see Putin like trying to put on a front and being like, you know, he is traveling lots of times when he takes those steps. It is too many. And then Giannis just gives him
a
giant Jolly Rancher he got at the county fair. And Putin's like, oh, you are. Okay. This guy.
What is this fried Twinkie you brought me?
I tell you, I am sorry I tried to hack MVP votes for Harden. hackers were very impressed by Daryl Morey tweets.
I would say if you ever really need, like, a tough negotiator, Kawhi might come in handy just because he doesn't speak. So it would kind of, like, force... It would make it uncomfortable enough that the other party would feel like they had to say something.
Yeah,
you
but...
You save a little money on a translator, too.
Well... Here's my worry. I thought about Kawhi. My worry with Kawhi is if we learn something about Kawhi this summer, it's that he the man has schemes, and I worry you don't want someone scheming behind closed doors.
Yeah, right. We're situation. Like, you're trying to negotiate a peace agreement. You're like, look, the disputed Kashmir region, that has been an issue between India and Pakistan. And then suddenly you find out that Kauai has convinced Bangladesh to totally switch sides.
Right.
True. And you don't want someone showing up to the table in the shirts he's been wearing since he's gotten to LA.
I don't know about this at all. What has he been wearing, Katie?
He wore one in his first press conference with the Clippers, or like the big team when they were all there on the stage. But they're like, it looks, I think his friend, like a friend of his must just make them, but they look incredibly Eastern European, like mm-hmm. Eastern European streetwear. And there's just like wacky, like hand graffiti drawings all over them. Words that don't make sense. Just like a collage shirt. But they're extremely tight t-shirts. Mm-hmm. It looks like something you'd wear to like a club in the Northern Bloc.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to look up these t-shirts.
I like that, so I don't know.
Our next question comes from Patrick Golden, who asks, in the 2007 Nicolas Cage film Next, co-starring Julianne Moore, Jessica Biel, and Peter Falk, Cage plays Chris Johnson, a magician who can see 2 minutes into his own future. He uses that power to thwart crimes, evade enemies, stalk and bed a beautiful woman, and track down a nuclear device planted by Euro-Russian terrorists. If 43-year-old Chris Johnson were on the Detroit Pistons, how many points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, and fouls would he have against the Charlotte Hornets in a midseason basketball game? So the question here, Katie, is how many, what kind of stats would Nicolas Cage, he looks and walks and acts like Nicolas Cage, have in a basketball game where he could see 2 minutes into the future?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still stuck on stocks and beds.
I mean, well, it's a
pretty good description of what happens.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
he tries many different ways to appeal to Jessica Biel,
and then finally just stalks her.
It's sort of unclear how this works, because you see a lot of
his failures.
You see a lot of his failures, and it's kind of like, what am I watching exactly? Because he's not really time traveling, so he shouldn't get to do things a million times. But I guess the idea is he's looking at every possibility. Yeah,
he's seeing all of the different ways, and he can figure out which one works. To pick up a lady.
Well, you know, and the reason he picks up the lady, it's not that stalky, Katie. It's because he had a vision of a woman, a beautiful woman in a diner, and he got obsessed with it, and he had to make it happen.
Huh. Well, probably no rebounds.
See, I think rebounds is one of the ones he could get pretty easily. He knows exactly where the ball is going.
Mm-hmm.
But right. It sounds like he's too prideful to admit he ever even made a mistake. I've never seen the movie.
Well, but the idea is he doesn't make mistakes because he knows what the right choice is every time.
He's a magician.
No, right. Because he has a power where he can see 2 minutes into the future.
He's not a real magician, Katie.
I hate this movie. And I hate this question.
I don't think he's getting very many points because he's 43-year-old Nicolas Cage in a basketball game.
Well, you think he's just going to post up by the net and only get rebounds?
Katie, if you have a chance to look at what Nicolas Cage's hair looks like in this film... even knowing exactly where the defenders are going to be, I kind of don't think it matters. He just sees a reality that's just Cody Zeller blocking his shot over and over again.
I just saw his hair, and I think he's getting dragged off the court by security.
The Pistons are the correct team for him, because he does look like Tom Gores a little bit in this movie.
Yeah. Can I give you a Nicolas Cage quote from that movie?
Please do. But you have to do it as Nicolas Cage.
Okay. There's an Italian painter named Carletti, and he defined beauty. He said it was the summation of the parts working together in such a way that nothing needed to be added, taken away, or altered. And that's you. You're beautiful.
So I think he's getting a lot of steals.
Yeah, that's the thing that is really frustrating everybody, because he just knows where the dribbles are going to be. But I also think that particularly in this film, Nicolas Cage is dribbling with just his right hand, staring at the ball, sort of trying not to trip as he goes up the court. So I think it's a lot of steals and a lot of assists, perhaps.
I think he's getting a lot of steals, a lot of assists, maybe a block or two, just because he knows where the guy's going to be. You know what I mean?
Here's a question, though, Joey. Yeah. How many minutes do you think Chris Johnson can play?
I mean, he does do some athletic things in this movie, you have to remember. He jumps over logs rolling down a hill.
That's true. But I just remember a lot of this movie is him walking not particularly quickly in action sequences.
Well, because he doesn't have to.
I guess that's right. I guess he wouldn't have to run much on the court. They'd be like, oh, he's having trouble moving around out there. And then he stole the ball again.
I think we're looking at like 6 points. Because he's going to get a lot of steals, right? So he's probably going to get a breakaway layup. And they're not going to block his layup because he's going to know where they're going to try and block him from. You know what I mean?
I still think they're probably going to block him a third round, even with this knowledge. He's just going to be like, I don't have that many options.
I think we're looking at like 6 points, like 6 rebounds. Mostly off of free throws, where because he just knows exactly where the ball's going, you know?
Right, like long rebounds. Yeah.
I think we're looking at like 14 assists, though.
14 assists?
Yeah.
I think we're looking at like double digit steals. For
yes,
sure.
Yes. And like, I was going to say like 20 steals.
I
don't think magicians are that generous for assists.
But he knows. He knows exactly where the guy's going to be open. He's playing basketball. You know what I mean? It's not like...
magician? Is that what he is in the movie?
No.
He's definitely just a magician.
Yeah.
Maybe I think all magicians are thieves.
You're not wrong. I mean, it's fundamentally lying.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's a question, Sean.
Yes.
Does he take a charge in this game? Because he does know. You'd think he could take a charge every time. You know what I mean? That would be one of his main skills.
Right. But I also kind of feel like a ref, even if he really had position and was able to get in someone's way, I think the refs would kind of look at Chris Johnson in his Pistons uniform and just be like, we're not going to reward that dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you're, I kind of feel like you have a better chance of drawing a charge if you've displayed more athleticism to begin with.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. He's not drawing a charge. And you know why?
What? He's so a coward.
He's so afraid his wig is going to come off if he falls on the ground.
Oh, right, yeah. But really, how much rest do you think he needs? That's the only thing. For me, I'm being conservative on his totals in part because I think he's maxing out at about 25 minutes. And even that is fairly generous, but I guess he can anticipate timeouts.
I just don't think he has to run that much. I mean, he does, but like, he does know what exactly what's going to happen every time. You know what I mean?
And a lot of that time is like, oh, I'm going to get dunked on. And
yeah, that's going to be... I mean, they're... Look, Terry Rozier is going at him every single time. Right? Because he's like a 5'9" white guy. Who's 43 years old, wearing a wig on the court?
Because it's kind of unclear. Like sometimes you'd think like it's not like he can create the future, and I feel like what he's seeing in the future is a lot of him like
calling for switches.
Yeah, getting running into a screen of fairly like even if he knows a screen is coming from say like I'm not even talking about like a great member of the Charlotte Hornets, but say Dwayne Bacon sets a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he maybe going to get a concussion if he runs into
but
that?
He's not going to run into it. That's what you're forgetting.
Oh, that he is.
He knows where the screen is all the time.
I kind of feel like he still is limited to his own body, though.
Right, but what he's going to do is, like, go between, run under his legs or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you're saying. I think that there's just not that many places for a 43-year-old man to go certain situations.
I do understand that feeling, but again, the man can see into the future. I have a lot more here's the funny thing I'm gonna say about this is so the Pistons starting backcourt would be Nicolas Cage and Luke Kennard.
It checks
are
out.
Are you so I think you would play him alongside Derrick Rose.
I mean, Luke Kennard is the Pistons' best guard currently, though.
I'm just saying I would probably play him with Derrick Rose because I feel like Derrick Rose would be, like, more confused by everything that's happening.
I mean, I was just going to say that's a lot of... If it's him and Kennard, it's... maybe the wildest hair combination in NBA backcourt history. A lot of MPB going on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Katie, that stands for male pattern baldness. All right.
All right, so we're very confident about his ability to get some steals.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I think he would forget his powers. I think he would become so frustrated by the game, he would forget that he could see into the future. And I also think magicians are too prideful of people.
Yeah, do you think he would try to do an illusion during the game, Katie?
Yeah, I do. I think he would get upset he wasn't doing the halftime show and try and do it, pull something out on the court. And then get ejected, and then get dragged off the court by security.
Do you think he would not enjoy being in the NBA because his true destiny is to be a fan who charges the court?
I think he'd always be trying to saw his coaches in half.
Like LeBron, metaphorically, right?
Yeah, exactly. But he'd be doing it.
Frank Vogel, you're getting fired.
Literally.
Confidential to Frank V in Los Angeles. Your job is not safe. I can see 2 months into the future, Katie. And I see there's a lot of people in the Lakers organization undermining the head coach.
Okay. Our last question for the day comes from...
I hope it's not about magicians.
It is not. It comes from our friend, the host of the Fast Break Breakfast podcast, Keith Parrish. And he asks, Does the Big Three championship and MVP make Joe Johnson's Hall of Fame case airtight?
Now, on the podcast, we have been calling Joe Johnson 7-time All-Star and future Hall of Famer Joe Johnson for years now.
Mm-hmm. It's because, his name.
It's his name. It's his legal name. And I want to add, yes, it does make his case airtight.
I mean,
airtight.
His case was already airtight.
Uh-huh.
So,
but this is a pretty solid piece of evidence. The key is he also won Team Captain of the Year, mm-hmm. which is the Big Three equivalent to Executive of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, who's had a double like that? Like Jerry West, maybe?
Well, Bill Russell, right? I mean, I guess that was Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge probably won Executive of the Year, right? But not All-Star.
Yeah, but he won MVP. Yeah.
Well, but I'm trying to think of
who's
the best players.
Michael
yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah.
Look, Michael Jordan's going to have more total trophies than Danny Ainge, for sure. Katie, can I just give you a couple other Big Three award winners in the past?
Please.
So, the only other league MVP in the Big Three to win a title is Corey Maggette, of course, who was also Team Captain of the Year. So, team building. Corey Maggette, by the way, congratulations on your retirement from the Big Three.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy I never have to watch him play basketball ever again.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what, Katie, do you know what Corey Maggette's charity used to be called when he was a Clipper?
No.
Uh-oh, Maggette-os. Do they have Spaghetti-os in Canada?
Yes.
The other things I learned looking at Big Three awards for this question is that Gary Payton has won Best Trash Talker the last 2 years, which is pretty impressive because he is a coach mm-hmm. and not actually playing. Amari Stoudemire is the reigning Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Three. the Too Hard to Guard award was actually won by Al Harrington 2 years in a row, but this year Will Bynum took the title.
Good for Will Bynum.
Mm-hmm. And last two coaches of the year, Nancy Lieberman and Lisa Leslie.
Yeah, sick. That's tight.
Yeah, look, the NBA says it's progressive, but you know who is? The Big Three.
Just in the award categories alone, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Birdman also has won Defensive Player of the Year, Joey. And James Flight White.
So, how many of those Defensive Player of the Years have lost dunk contests to David Lee, Sean? Oh, just one. Just James Flight White.
Yeah, I don't think David Lee ever competed in a pro one. I bet the Birdman has lost to him in a dunk contest at some point.
Well, congratulations, Joe Johnson and the Triplets on your Big Three championship. Should we talk about the news real quick?
Yeah,
let's talk about the news.
Let's get this over with. Pretty quickly, because this news is a bummer. All right, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, our main story is, of course, Bill Simmons made fun of Devin Booker not playing on Team USA and then lost his mind when Jason Tatum got hurt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sean, do you want to walk us through the timeline here of what happened?
Yeah, so I saw the second part of it. I want to thank Reader. You know him from the Fast Break Breakfast podcast and the previous Reader Mail question seconds ago. Keith Parrish pointed out that Bill Simmons, the context is Bill Simmons woke up early to watch Team USA play Turkey was amazed at how early it was. And he started sort of live tweeting it, but like there were both too many live tweets and not enough, where unless you were also up very early watching the game, a lot of it didn't really make sense. And he also, while there was a break, began live tweeting a Brazil-Greece game, which was incredible because he was just like, oh my God, M's advantage has got a double-double. It's really crazy.
So you're going to read these tweets as Bill Simmons? Okay.
Yeah, do you want to trade off?
Yes, you take the first one.
Okay. I hope Devin Booker is watching this OT game before his intense workout with some 5'9 trainer who just keeps feeding him uncontested threes, because that's a better way to prepare for the season.
Oh my God.
Not. I mean, that part's implied. Sorry.
Oh my God. Tatum got hurt.
Looks like he stepped on a foot and twisted his ankle.
Turkey missed 4 straight free throws and a game-winning 3. USA escapes. That was ugly. Can I get a Tatum update, please?
Here's a clip of Jason Tatum hurting his ankle. Damn it!
Well, I guess the best way to deal with my grief is to retweet a FanDuel promotion and an episode of the Rewatchables. So the thing we need to point out here is Devin Booker, who, again, I'm going to say not my favorite guy in the NBA either.
No.
Completely.
Not a feature of Roundball Rock defending Devin Booker.
Completely owned Bill Simmons later on in the day, too. He retweeted Bill Simmons tweeting, oh my God, Tatum got hurt, with the quote, prayers up to my man, or something like that. Hold on, what was the exact quote?
Let me find it. Prayers up, 3 praying hands.
Yeah.
That's so funny. All right, I'm in on Devin Booker now.
That's a mistake.
Now I'm kind of like, look, I don't love Devin Booker or anything like that, but I don't really have a problem with somebody just getting as many points as they can on a terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna try to support D Book at least at the start of the year, Joey.
Y'all, good luck with
he's,
that.
Look, he's pro union now, right? He's basically in the resistance after this tweet.
I mean. Look, though, Sean, don't forget how embarrassing the don't double team me in a pickup game was.
It's not that embarrassing.
It was pretty bad.
It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie.
Because he also just is like perpetually 12 years old, so it doesn't really help his case when he starts to pout.
He's 12 years old, but also has the deepest voice of, like, maybe anyone in the NBA. So it's like, it looks like a deep fake. He looks like two children in a trench coat trying to buy beer.
His face does look like a, kind of like a face mask that you would wear,
like in Mission where Impossible,
like flattens and smooths your features. You know what I mean?
But his voice is like this. It's like, hey, no double teaming me, man. Hey, stop double teaming me. Hey,
come on now.
Please don't double team me. Hey, I mean, stop it. Come on.
Did you know that the guy the Suns drafted in the lottery is older than Devin Booker?
I did know that, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's not hard when he's 12.
I guess, yeah. But what if they just kept doing that? If they were just like, we want Devin Booker to be our most special little boy.
Forever.
All right, now to talk about some... another piece of news. Rodion's Kuruk sucks. Fuck that guy. Cut him. Get him out of the league. It turns out in June he was arrested for...
No. Joey, he actually just got arrested now.
Oh.
I had misread it at first.
So did I. That's...
But the allegations are from June.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, he choked his wife, then threw her on a bed and then said, I want to die, and then bit her lip and then slapped her in the face twice. They're really gross. Fuck this guy. I would like to retroactively, retract my thinking he was cool. 'Cause he's not cool. He sucks. Get him out of the league.
If you're not going to take a stand for Rodion's Kuruks, it just seems like that's the NBA throwing their hands up and just being like, we can't do anything. We're totally ineffectual.
Yeah, I mean, like, what bugs me about this is, like, there's no way the Nets didn't know. And then, like, he still, like, he played in Summer League. He was just, like, ostensibly chilling all summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then this comes out. Now, because he's arrested, so they're like, "Whoops, we can't keep it a secret anymore."
I think maybe I had misread it at first. I think maybe they actually didn't know.
But I don't believe that. Like, I don't believe that there wasn't some kind of like conversation that happened between either like his agent or just like in someone on the team, because this isn't information. I just don't think NBA teams, as much as they play dumb, I don't think they're that dumb.
Right, I just mean, like, there was not actually a police report until, like, when he got arrested.
Yeah, okay, I guess maybe they didn't know about, like, the charges as they were formalized, but for there to have been, like, an altercation and for something to have happened and for him to, like, talk about it with, like, his teammates, someone on the team, like, there had to have been some kind of insider knowledge. This is my, like, stance on it. I don't know. It's super gross. It's like, it's obviously super fucked up. And like, to your point, yeah, like if this isn't the guy that you can cut loose for this, like when are you gonna take a hard stance on like your not real zero tolerance policy?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I don't have a lot of confidence in internal NBA investigations.
No.
Well, they're non-existent. They don't seem to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like everyone expressed after the Luke Walton investigation closed, all the Kings were just looking, yeah, that was great. We feel very satisfied by it. And then the third paragraph of the story is like, yeah, nobody actually contacted the accuser at all.
So it's like, oh, okay. 3 weeks like, and he had like a new job.
Oh yeah, and the summer long investigation was like, seems pretty cool. Seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, still like the rhetoric goes back to being like, oh yeah, our like one of our most progressive coaches in the league.
Uh-huh. He's back.
He's back.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what will happen. Also, it's very annoying to me that there's like speculation and all of like my point with like all of this kind of stuff being reported by like any kind of outlet is one that they always list stats of the players.
Oh, right.
They give a stat line like it were at all relevant, and they speculate, oh, like who this is going to be good for in the lineup, like mm-hmm. who's going to take his minutes if he doesn't play. Yeah, like play.
Wow, Wilson Chandler probably feels especially bad about those PEDs.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, why can't we just focus? You don't have to like bookend the story because people can't take it. Like if people don't want to read it, they won't read it. But you don't have to bookend it and be like, this is still about sports.
Do you guys want to hear my Bill Simmons take on this story?
Oh, yeah, please.
The Brooklyn Nets, they had high character until they signed a certain point guard out of Boston. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, PED suspensions, domestic abuse. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Katie, I want to bring
the, that's the story. Kind of shit that they that like sports people do is just
they
what
love
I mean.
It.
They love that shit.
Katie, I feel like we need to I want to make you smile again. Do you know what Nicolas Cage's stage name is in the movie next?
I don't know why you're bringing up magicians again to make me feel better.
his magician name is Frank Cadillac. And he explains that he picked two things he really liked and put them together. Frankenstein and Cadillacs.
Okay. Just for the Frankenstein.
All right. Should we talk about the summer?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! It's time.
Wow. It's the summertime. And you know what that means? Swimming pools, ice creams, CGI movies directed by the guy from Swingers, not named Vince Vaughn. Do you like the music I chose for this drop? It's like a Kirkland signature made the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 soundtrack. Hey, speaking of Swingers, whatever happened to Ron Livingston? Is he dead? Alexa, is Ron Livingston dead?
I don't know. He's probably on a CSI.
Anyway, let's talk about NBA player summer vacations with our special vacation friend, Katie Heindel. 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
All right, Katie. It's time to give out your summer vacation awards here.
Special awards.
Your special awards, yeah. The first award I would like you to give out is which NBA star wins the award for best on boats?
I have to preface this is that I gave runners up as well.
Oh, because I did not give Katie that much. I mean, we had talked about these categories a little bit before the show. I didn't give you a huge amount of advanced knowledge. I'm so happy that I was like, I hope, I'm pretty sure Katie will have an award. But now that you have runners up, oh.
Well, you know, this is like ingrained. I was a close study to this for like all summer, dedicated.
Mm-hmm. How many players do you follow on Instagram?
On the Basketball Feelings Instagram, about 150.
Is that your main source of research?
No, I can't divulge all my sources.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, those are our best and brightest. And there's always outliers.
Instagram is like the paper of record for NBA vacations.
It used to be Snapchat, and I'm really happy that Snapchat stock has gone down amongst NBA players because I would never get it, and I would never understand it also. But Instagram, I get. I can use that tool. Okay. Best on boats. I'm just going to give you the rundown, okay?
Okay.
All right. Otto Porter Jr., he looked extremely happy to be on a boat. Or else be on a boat with Greg Monroe earlier in the summer. Both, I think, super relatable to me.
Because you really love Greg Monroe.
Well, who doesn't? But yes.
And it's a Georgetown reunion.
Yeah, and they just looked thrilled to just be flying over whatever body of water they were on in Italy and not paying attention to driving the boat. A little bit worrisome. But that's like, what's like the last runner-up? They're like the last runner-up.
Okay.
Okay. Terrence Ross was in Cabo, and he looked like he was lying on the floor of a boat, like sick, with a towel draped over his head and sunglasses on. But the caption of it, and he looked extremely upset, but the caption was, "This is amazing."
I'll tell you right now, that's best on boat for old Joey. Keep going, Katie.
Okay.
Someone possibly suffering from extreme seasickness.
It could have been still heat exhaustion. Yeah, seasickness. It could have been any number of complaints. This is just extremely personal, maybe more than Greg Monroe. I don't know. Maybe a runner-up to how personal. But DeLon Wright was like draped in like a green satin outfit, like a sleep set, it looked like, on a boat, also in Cabo, not sick, but he looked like iridescent in the sun. He looked amazing. Oh, and then he also, like, I guess had a quick outfit change and went snorkeling and came up, and the caption on that was, saw some dope fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very...
My last honorable mention is Paul Pierce alone in a swan paddle boat. On, like, a dank-looking pond somewhere. And the winner, best thumb boat, I think is Miles Turner, because he, like, made a photo shoot out of being on a boat, like, tooting around the Sydney Harbor, found, a captain's hat on the boat. Maybe it was the captain's hat. And then he basically drove the boat backstage to Fleetwood Mac, where he was a roadie.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah, he got to be, he had backstage passes. He went alone.
This is Miles Turner.
Miles Turner.
Was a roadie at Fleetwood Mac?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Fleetwood Mac.
No Lindsey Buckingham, though.
Right,
no.
Of course.
And he hands, not Mick Fleetwood, the other wacky guy.
John McVie.
Yeah, he hands him a guitar. He goes up on the stage. He's super nervous because after he's like, I almost threw up. And he gets up on stage and he just, like, hands him a guitar. And then he, like, sneakily runs off stage.
So is that most rockin' summer as well?
It's, like, most rockin' transition from boat to backstage.
Yeah, that makes it truly summer legendary that he incorporated a boat beforehand is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a pretty good summer's day.
Katie, what do you think of the four elements? What's the most important one to summer?
What are the four elements that you're talking
earth,
about?
Earth, air, fire, and water.
Oh, I thought you meant like swimming pool, beach, wind in your hair, sunglasses. Water, I think. Yeah.
I thought you would say that, Katie.
It's got to be water.
You have some inside baseball. You are going to visit the home of Round Ball Rock, that is Provo, Utah, and you've asked many questions about like whether we can be near bodies of water,
mm-hmm.
or in them,
or just like soaked by a hose.
Yeah, because you.
Then I said that you probably think I'm the fish from the fish man from what's their movie?
The Shape of Water.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, speaking of water.
The awards.
yeah, we have a lot of these to get to. So, all right, Katie, who wins the award for best in a pool?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, some runners-up. Mm-hmm. first runner-up, Otto Porter Jr. again, mounting a flamingo inflatable on the second try. I don't know if you've ever tried this in a pool, but it's hard to land on those things and not flip immediately over into the pool. Any inflatable.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But he nails it. Kind of happy he didn't get hurt, to be honest. I think Damian Lillard did like an Instagram live from a pool for a few days in a row for mm-hmm. 1 week. Like that was fine.
Okay.
The best part was he had friends like in the comments just being like, answer your phone. Like, what are we doing today? So that was pretty good. And then I think runner up to like throw it way back to early summer is Eric Gordon essentially being in a pool in Singapore for 24 hours.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. troubling. We covered that last time. All right, so who's your winner?
Eric Gordon.
No,
that was a legendary. To take pictures in the same spot in the same infinity pool.
With the same smile.
I have to say, I think if Otto Porter Jr. was still on the Washington Wizards, he would have most likely gotten horribly injured from jumping on that flamingo.
That's true. I didn't want to say it, but it's true.
All right, Katie. What about best on the beach?
Courtney Lee had a photo where he was just like alone not alone, because that's like the thing with all these pictures. It's like someone's obviously there taking these beautiful photos, but they're always presented like, here I am, a solo vacationer. But he's like standing on the most like remote, beautiful looking beach, just some rickety old boat that like got him there, I guess, in the background, holding up his flippers with his snorkel still on. He just, it just like, it's a beautiful photo and he looks great. So that just made me pretty happy. I think Joel Embiid like was on a beach leaning on like a palapa, the straw umbrellas, and was doing like a really bad, like bad and lazy job of kind of tantrically trying to lift his shirt up on one side only. But that was nice. It's like a bit of some theatrics. But number one, best on beach. Mike Scott being chased down the beach by birds.
Yeah, that's...
in a prank gone wrong.
All right.
Well, what was the prank gone... What was supposed to happen?
It starts with him, like, the video starts with him on, like, close up to the person filming. He's holding, like, a bun in the air, and he starts to, like, waltz down the beach, at, like, picking up to a jog. There's a couple birds. He goes out of the frame for maybe less than 5 seconds. And when he comes back, he's sprinting down the beach with like a swarm of birds chasing him. But he's still holding the bun. So congratulations, all right, Mike.
Another award we have is Best Summer Secrets.
Okay, this,
I don't understand this one either, Katie, but keep going.
This was a late addition to the awards, but because sometimes you find out, it's like not really a juicy summer to me unless you're finding out some juicy secret. So the first one is like gross and juicy, and as we would expect of Kyle Kuzma, but that he was reading The Art of Seduction. Which, if you're not familiar, is like an MRA, like pickup artist guidebook, or like influencer to like pickup artistry. Anyway, gross secret. But the best of the winner of the award is finding out that Kelly Oubre Jr. has 11 toes.
What?
In an extremely casual reveal, he's like getting a massage on a beach on vacation, and the photo is taken from his feet towards his head. So you get a real close look at his toes, and on one foot, he's got 6 toes.
I'm going to say, if you asked me to guess which NBA player had 11 toes, I think I would guess Kelly Oubre Jr. within 5.
Who would be your other ones?
Well, now I'm on the spot. I would have.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jokic had like. Sorry, if Jokic had like 13.
No, he's not like extra enough. I feel like you've got to be like, you know, like, you know how Gerald Green is like really extra and he's missing a finger. I feel like if you have less or more, you kind of make it up in your personality. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I would guess Terry Rozier would be an early guess for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is like not public information though, Katie. I mean, I know you picked up on it.
Instagram.
No, I'm not doubting it, but like if you Google Kelly Oubre extra toes, nothing.
No, that's why I respect it, because he it's out there for the world to see, but if you don't pick up on it, sorry.
I'm never gonna look at him the same way again.
He's got great balance.
Yeah.
Oh, Reggie Jackson. He should be a new balance. Reggie Jackson would be an early guess for me for sure.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got more awards.
Brandon Knight. I could see Brandon Knight having either 9 or 11.
These are like the carnival awards.
All right. Katie, what about best at Lake Como?
look like Como again, a really popular destination this summer. So
they're visiting George Clooney mostly, right?
You think so? They might all be staying there. I mean, I do think just given the frequency and like the timing that everyone seemed to go, like weeks after one another, or in some cases days, it did seem like there's like a rental situation there for NBA players specifically, or a timeshare. I don't know. This one is a runner-up, but I didn't really like it because it was unsafe. But Buddy Hield was texting while driving like a cigarette boat, ripping across like Como. Picture of him looking great, but texting, fully head down texting at the wheel.
The captain. Titanic style.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. Then Langston Galloway was like kind of boring, but like a perfectly acceptable safe cruise about a week later. JV, Jonas Valanciunas, was the only one to actually just chill alongside Lake Como rather than like race across it. Mm-hmm. I did like that. But that was also around the time of the Face app. So he also had a picture of him on the lake looking extremely old. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. I'm glad that app died down.
Well, but, and congratulations to
yourself. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to the People's Republic of China for now owning Jonas Valanciunas' face.
His likeness.
Yeah.
Old and new.
Any retinal scan, any Chinese citizen can now infiltrate any retina security that he might set up.
There's going to be so many JV deep fakes in our future. I fear what they're going to do with that power. All right, keep going, Katie.
the winner of Best at Lake Como is Jamal Murray because he, again, not too safe, but I'm willing to let this slide because he was just like standing up on the seat as the boat was blasting across the water and just like beaming into the middle distance. So I think he takes it.
All right, Katie. What about Best on Mykonos?
I have to say that when we talked about this award, I think this was like influenced a little bit by last summer. Is Mykonos being a popular destination?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't as popular as Lake Como this year, but that said, there's really only two contenders, and one the winner was pretty secured, but the second contender helped him secure it because he was so boring when he was there. But Paul George was there, and despite taking like
Paul George was boring. Whoa, I can't believe it.
Yeah, some breaking summer news. Paul George, when he was there, took like a daily helicopter ride around, and he somehow still made it look boring. But hands down, it was Serge Ibaka, because if you'll remember, he was like lying on the beach, like pumping a fist, wearing those tiny
triangle sunglasses.
I've only seen those. Best triangular sunglasses.
All right. Before we get into the big four awards, it's important to ask, who was the third wheel of the year?
I also have some runners up.
This was the one where I was really worried. I'm like, am I asking too much of Katie? And no, I wasn't.
To give someone a bad vacation rating?
No. Just this particular category. I wasn't sure if I wasn't sure if there was that much data on it on third wheel of the year.
That's insulting to me. Because there is. First runner up, worst dude out, Kelly Olynyk, but he's the third wheel to the swimming pigs of the Bahamas, who I hope are okay.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Did they evacuate the swimming pigs?
Mm-mm. But my thoughts on the swimming pigs.
John Rule's responsibility right now.
No. I think he would fuck that up. He can't evacuate anybody.
Somehow there's extra pigs in there afterwards. He's like, you gotta learn the real story later.
I think the pigs are okay. They're like They've probably been through a hurricane before. I hope. Anyway, Kelly Olynyk, real third wheel to the pigs. We, the viewer, were the third wheel to the moment that Fred VanVleet was having with a stingray in the Cayman Islands.
Kind of moment are we talking about?
He's like cradling it in his arms, staring at it.
Is he in danger of getting stung? That was the thing that worried me a little bit.
Yeah, isn't that how the crocodile hunter died? Making IG content?
And actually, that Steve Irwin slogan was also bet on yourself, so.
It could have been a, maybe it was not a stingray. I admit I'm not, like, I'm the expert on summer vacations, not rays. It could have been a manta ray. Couple other kinds of rays. I hope it was, because, yeah.
Famous original ray.
Super close.
Everybody loves
Ray
rays.
Romano. And then the worst third wheel of the year, or best?
I don't know. This is your interpretation.
Kind of a negative award, but yeah.
Okay.
The winner of third wheel of the year
is wine, the drink to Devin Booker and D'Angelo Russell's friendship.
When they painted butts.
When they painted butts, when they went to Napa, when they went to Aspen and paddleboarded, stand-up paddleboarded, and also drank wine. They drank wine all the time.
I'm so glad they got their fake IDs this summer, both of them. Congratulations.
They don't have to just sit on each other's shoulders anymore.
But Devin Booker, to be fair, always looked like he wasn't enjoying the wine, which makes sense. He has a 12-year-old palate.
Yeah, it's not juice.
I mean, they both look like 12-year-olds in their ways.
In general, I think it's not a wonderful sign when a player on your team gets really into wine.
But
by which I mean LeBron James.
Yeah, it's like a retiree's or near retiree's passion.
But
I think
it also seems like something a boring person does to seem interesting.
Which is like case in point,
LeBron Devin James.
Booker. Well, yeah, yeah. I was going to say Devin Booker and D'Angelo Russell, but sure.
All right. Who's the winner for most improved summer, Katie?
This is tough because I think this award, though I just found out about it, it really like wants to go with the optics of most improved summer, but you've really got to vet this one, I think. So Kevin Love wanted us to believe it's him all summer. He did a lot of traveling. And to be fair, it looked like he really enjoyed himself. And by the end of it, he did have me because it just took him riding some horses, it turns out, for me to be all in on his vacation. But more in like a dedicated, like practically, ambitiously, most improved summer, Pascal Siakam, because last summer he didn't do anything. He just trained like crazy. He didn't take a vacation, and this summer he took a vacation or two every month, and he still found time to get huge. So physically improved, yes, and also better vacations, so like the full package.
I mean, that, I don't think it's ever happened that someone has won the most improved player award in the regular NBA and the summer watch. So this is truly a dominant couple of months for Siakam.
100%. He's unstoppable right now.
All right. Who had the least valuable summer?
Okay. You put these out of order for me.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm ready.
It seemed like you'd want that one closer to the top. I didn't want to start negative, you know?
Oh, I get it. I know. A couple of runners up. I think the permanent winner of this award is always Matthew Dellavedova. But we didn't see too much of him. Actually, the last we saw of him, he was walking into the ocean, and I haven't heard from him since. So that's okay. Weirdly, the Plumleys didn't do shit this summer.
Well, We have some news on that, actually.
Oh, fuck.
Marshall Plumlee is an Army Ranger now, so they were probably hanging out with him.
I mean,
yeah, he just graduated Ranger school. now, when did he begin Ranger school, Joey?
I don't know.
The picture is very funny because he's pretty easily the tallest person in his Ranger school class. Oh, so he was actually ROTC at Duke. So this makes a lot of sense, actually. And then he was in the National Guard when he was on the Knicks.
Weird. Very weird.
I mean, yeah, they didn't even have, like, that summer was even less than least valuable because they didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
But Doug McDermott going to the Google headquarters was pretty, like, low of
low
value. Yeah,
that's very lame. Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Wearing the hat, wearing the little hat with the propeller and being on a Google bicycle. No, thank you. But overall, LVS, Least Valuable Summer Award. Aaron Gordon, Swamp Summer. First, just like sitting on his front lawn, which is the swamp.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple weeks later, he got like a series of inflatable slides, like for children. Mm-hmm. And he set those up on his lawn. But they all just went right into the swamp.
Weird.
So I don't like that, mostly because of gators. Uh-huh. And also, it looks shitty.
All right. Well, do better, Aaron Gordon. Maybe you next year can be Pascal Siakam.
He wishes.
I mean, with his most improved summer is what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fair.
All right. Katie?
Yes.
Who was the team of the summer?
We also have runners up. Cal Sapries. So they're not a team, but they were a team in summer. Is that when Draymond Green, DeMarcus Cousins, who's fucking canceled,
yeah.
James Harden, John Wall, Eric Gordon, and Eric Bledsoe all went to the Bahamas?
That does seem like a list of players who could be canceled eventually, by the way, just with their vibe, you know?
Maybe. they're the last runner-up. I got to quantify this. Yeah, but they went all to the Bahamas. I don't know why, because I think it was for a wedding. That's usually, in my experience, what trips like this are. But all they really did was, like, work out in a small gym.
Weird.
So that, yeah, kind of boring and a waste of our time. This is a bit, I hope I'm not like canceling myself because I gave this award out formally to the Blazers because of their showing, all of their showings this summer.
You love Dame and CJ.
And Hassan had a real weird but fun summer. But yeah.
What? But, yeah.
He killed an animal. Oh,
no, because all the Timberwolves went to the Bahamas extremely late last week. ostensibly for training purposes, but all they did was get wasted, get hungover, and, like, float around in the ocean.
Oh, Jimmy Butler would have hated that.
Uh-huh.
Coach, do you think Coach Tibbs has ever been to the Bahamas, Joey?
No.
You see him on the beach still wearing, like, a coaching polo and just trying to roll up his khakis to mid-calf, and he's like, that's far enough!
They celebrated Naz Reid's birthday, which is also why I think they got wasted. They forced all the rookies to do karaoke and then forced them to, like, do it again when they didn't perform.
I really like that.
To Karl Anthony Towns' expectations.
My favorite, Joey, do you remember? The Warriors used to do that at open practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the best one we ever saw was when Charles Mr. Jenkins, mm-hmm. right? Didn't he make the sign?
He did, yeah.
Uh-huh. He had a homemade sign that just said, "Come on, man," that he would hold up when a rookie was singing badly. Yeah.
So I think, and this to me is drawing like parallels, because I know a couple other teams are doing like early training camp, like team building exercises. Most notably, the Lakers are being forced into it to go to Las Vegas.
Right.
By LeBron. But that to me does not seem like it will be fun at all.
No. Going to Las Vegas to work.
And to be forced to have fun.
Yeah.
And you can't ever act like you're not having fun or you want to leave.
Whereas Tuesday is terrible.
If they, God forbid, they are there on a Tuesday, because he's gonna make them all scream it.
Yeah.
Together.
Uh huh.
I'm sorry.
He already made Anthony Davis scream it once.
Uh
huh. Yeah.
But
this looked like it started as it was supposed to be like a serious trip, and then it just devolved into a regular, really fun vacation with your friends.
The Timberwolves won. They squeaked it out over the Blazers in the end.
Yeah, they did. Because this was like a collective team, I guess you could say. They actually all went on vacation together.
And you know what I really liked? My favorite aspect of it is somehow they pulled in Zach LaVine.
Yes! Who was just there with his family, minding his own business, and then it looked like they really aggressively tracked him down, and then like were like, "You're on the team now."
Yeah,
and
they were like, "You're not Jimmy Butler, come back."
Yeah, they hung out in a casino. I like that when you can snowball over other people's vacations mm-hmm. seamlessly and bring them in.
And imagine how much fun that Timberwolves team would have been without the Jimmy Butler trade. Which I completely supported at the time. But,
Me too.
Like, I still think they wouldn't be... I mean, they'd be, like, exactly as good. They'd probably be better.
They'd be better. They'd have Lauri Markkanen.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would be pretty good. Rather than nothing at all.
They would have Karl Anthony Towns and Lauri Markkanen. That would, like, already be the best shooting front court of all time, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Katie, we've got two more awards left.
Okay.
Who is on your all summer starting five?
Okay. So do you want me to include a starting five lineup with the winner of the MVP or without?
Because
I've got both ready.
I say without.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do. Serge Ibaka, but I want to say just Serge Ibaka's triangle sunglasses. Greg Monroe, Miles Turner in his playing a guitar, shredding a guitar on stage, wearing his captain's hat. CJ McCollum making pasta in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got Buddy Hield as the vacation anchor, because I feel like, I hope it's not a cop out, but I feel like his whole vibe, and I know it's because of where he's from, but like I feel like his whole vibe is like, if things started to go awry, if you know the weather turned, if somebody didn't pack a strong enough SPF, Buddy's there. He's got what it takes to help him out.
Yeah, he's like Captain Ron.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's going to stay hydrated, protected from the sun, having fun. And then I have coming off the bench, Party Boy Steve, the koi fish that Hassan Whiteside made friends with this summer in Portland's Japanese garden.
Mm-hmm. That look, what I will say, I don't want to bum you out, is
Hassan, dead?
What?
The fish?
No. But Hassan Whiteside once filmed a dead parrot for like 20 minutes on his Snapchat. So, and we have a theory that he killed that bird. So if that fish ends up dead, I'm just saying.
Look out, Party Boy Steve. Watch your back.
Be careful.
He did try and like feed him a pool slide, it looked like. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I didn't
totally put that fish in that like fish tube elevator thing too.
Fish tube elevator.
All right.
Yeah.
And then finally, Katie, it's the moment we've waited all summer to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the MVP of Summer Vacation Watch?
It's Mike Scott. I was waiting for a drum roll.
Now, have you awarded the Summer MVP in previous years?
Yes.
Who are some former winners that Mike Scott will be standing
the
on?
The first year, it was Patty Mills, he went back to Australia. But I think when he goes back to Australia, he just lives on his pickup truck on the beach. So that helped him. And then last year was Jimmy Butler, who this year actually annoyed me on vacation. I'm sorry to say, it hurts me the most to say it.
Well, you know, he was in a contract summer last year, so I think that's probably why.
He was in his Eat, Pray, Love summer last year. Going into his Eat, Pray, Love year, which also kind of fired. But this year, I was very, like, I had some early favorites pegged, Serge Ibaka being one. But Mike Scott really came in late and came in hot and just, like, pedal to the metal, did not stop.
What were some highlights from Mike Scott's summer?
Chased by birds. That was pretty good. I don't know where he got it, but he commandeered an ice cream truck one afternoon for no reason, and he drove it to the Philadelphia Museum of Art and started giving out ice cream to everybody.
That's really great.
Yeah, really nice. He crashed a wedding earlier in the summer. Just someone, I think, like, messaged him on Twitter, and he was like, all right, what's the address? And he went, and he didn't just stay for a minute. He stayed for the whole rest of the night, because there's photos at the end of the night when it's just, like, the drunk uncle, like, the, like, friends from a long time ago, and Mike Scott. So, like, yeah, I think the thing about Mike Scott's summer was it was very unpredictable and spontaneous. And a lot of summers so far have seemed like Patty Mills was kind of, like, languid and, like, loose. And Jimmy Butler's was, like, very aesthetically pleasing and beautiful, much like Jimmy Butler. But Mike Scott's was kind of like, what the hell is he going to do next? He, like, ziplined a bunch. There was one day when he did everything like a person can do to propel themselves, like, from one point to another.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, ziplined through the jungle. He did, he, like, parachuted somewhere else. He did, what's it when you're over water? Kite surfing? That.
Parasailing.
All in one day. Just one day. Why not? He was, like, riding dirt bikes all the time, it seemed like. So I don't know. I just, like, I know a lot of people, I might seem like, yeah, no shit. Like, this is just his MO. But I guess I'm late to the Mike Scott train. But I'm fully bored now. I'm driving it.
Well, are you going to miss? Congratulations. Are you going to miss NBA Summer Vacation Watch, Katie?
Yeah, I already miss it.
Is this like a Santa Claus thing, though, where now you get to rest?
Yeah, actually, I was going to say that, but I feel a bit like, I feel like people will think it's not, it's a joke, but I honestly feel tired, pretty tired.
Do you think some of that has to do with the amount of time you yourself have spent in the water this summer?
Maybe, but I find that restorative.
Uh-huh.
It's probably the amount of time that I'm like, I got to get on all these guys' stories. I got to go deep into their grams. I got to go deep into my other sources before things like expire or like something else happens. And I will say, like, Most Improved Summer, I know we gave the award out to one guy, but I just want to say kudos to the whole league because everyone had a Most Improved Summer this summer. So I don't want to say that's because they know they're being watched, but I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, this is actually the observer effect, right? It's a measurable science thing that the addition of an observer actually changes the results of an experiment.
Maybe in a creepy way. More sincerely, I hope that they're all just enjoying themselves a lot more, getting a better work-life balance. But yeah, like, what great vacations this summer. This might have been the best summer vacation watch summer yet.
Bold. That's a bold claim, but I love it.
Well, Katie Heindel, thank you for another great summer of watching the vacations. I hereby tell you, your shift is over for the year, so get some rest.
Thank you.
I think this might have been my best NBA summer ever, too, Katie.
Yeah?
Because we got to meet you in person.
Guys.
All right. I think that's our show. Katie, please tell the listeners where they can read you and any other thing you want to plug.
Well, I'm a bit lost now with my boating anchor of Summer Vacation Watch, but you can subscribe to Basketball Feelings now on Substack if you like. It's got
highly
a little bit.
I highly recommend doing it. It's great.
Heavy, but I think it's been a necessary balance, counterbalance to summer. But yeah, if you feel like it, go ahead.
Good plug.
Soft says a little bit of a soft sell, but we'll allow it. We both subscribe, so
thank you. I don't know. Now I'm just gonna honestly, I'm gonna take a bit of a breather and then cook up some stuff for fall. How about that? Oh, you can follow me on Twitter.
At WTEVS at whatevs. Yes. Well, thanks for coming on, Katie. Sean, what do you want to plug?
You can read my thing about the worst NBA contracts of all time. It's kind of interesting, I think. I definitely picked one from the very first year of the BAA where the highest paid player in the league scored 6 points a game. Granted, his salary also covered his responsibilities as the team's PR director.
Weird.
And then I have the thing on Yard Barker about handicapping the lottery contenders. Who's going to get that first pick? Charlotte's really bad, Joey.
Yeah, no, they're going to be terrible. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where I've been wilding out the last week. It was difficult to even pick my favorite tweet that I tweeted, but we'll go with a short but sweet one. 11 hours ago, I tweeted, "My face smells like freaking butter. I'm a freaking butterface." Sean, did you write a song?
I did. This is it's a Beatles song about Grace and Alan.
All right.
It's called "Grace a Tripper."
That's playing under us right now, unless it starts with talking. Then it'll be playing in about 5 seconds. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all have a great summer next year.
Here's a blue devil. Loves to give the floor a slap now. He throws lots of elbows. And people are learning his crap now. Because Gray's a tripper, dirty player, yeah. It didn't take him long to get kicked out, but he got kicked out. He was a high pick, but Quinn knew he wasn't the right guy. You know he was trouble, because Utah traded a white guy. You know Gray's a tripper, and he's a grizzly now. It took him so long to come out, Now he's got gout. Grayson Allen. Sean saw you score 40 points in the last game of the season against the Clippers once. It was actually kind of depressing. But that being said, you didn't kick anyone in the nuts. He played for Coach K, but he'd rather cheat than lose now. His face is troubling. He looks just like Ted Cruz now. You know who Gray's a tripper? Celia Fowler, yeah. He'll put you on your back with a hack like the Zodiac. Grayson Allen, you're the Pete Best to Wojo's Ringo, I guess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.